But if you want to turn in your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. I take that back. 2 Timothy. At the second part right, but with the book wrong. 2 Timothy is where we'll go. After the meetings, you know, the Lord impressed upon my heart something that I feel like we're going to probably go towards for Wednesday, during our Wednesday night study until further notice. God spoke in many different ways, but one, I always look for maybe a common message or a common theme that is testified of, and I did pick up on one theme. I think there are probably several, but one of the things that I felt in my own heart, and I heard several other testimonies, but the night that Aaron preached on the Word of God and the Scriptures, and he did that a couple times, but one of the nights specifically where he was spending time on it was the fact that how dangerous it is to have a faith that is a mile wide and an inch deep. And boy, is it easy to have that type of faith in the world we live in. A faith that is a mile wide and an inch deep. We're so spread thin, we're so spread out, and different things going on in our lives. It could be due to many things, and I'm not really here to address all those tonight. But just the fact that God really spoke to my heart about that, and that's something I want us as a church to really make sure we don't have, is that type of shallow faith. And how can we combat that? How can we overcome a shallow faith? Well, with the Lord's help in the coming days, I'm going to be bringing out some points and different things in the Word of God. And I'm also going to be reading and studying a book by A.W. Tozer, who deals with the dangers of a shallow faith. And I'm already getting some really nice and just meaty things from that are very challenging and eye-opening. As we study through this, I'll be using some of his material to help us. But the dangers of a shallow faith, you know, being one who loves, number one, swimming. I love being out in the ocean, the lake, the water. I'm just all about just being out by the water. That's why I went in the Coast Guard. One of the main reasons I went in the Coast Guard is I just love the water. I loved it. And so I went in the Coast Guard and got plenty of water, okay? They made sure I had plenty of water to be in all that time, I assure you. But one of the things that was so dangerous that we constantly had to be looking out for was the fact of being looking out for shallow water. Shoals, I remember my first time running aground. And I can't really explain the feeling. Thankfully, we were not on a big ship. We were on about a 27-foot just speedboat, and it was called a rigid hull. Had the orange, if you ever seen them in pictures of the Coast Guard, had the orange rigid hull going around the side. Has a cabin, and it's got two mercury outboards on the back. Those babies would push, too. They were about 250 horsepower each outboard motor. And that boat would go fast. And well, we would navigate, when I was in Charleston, man, we'd navigate the intercoastal waterway like crazy. I mean, we had to do that often on rescue calls. And you're talking about some narrow passages, and you always had to be very careful to maintain in your channel. And they had markers, and you had GPS. But sometimes, my friends, at night, things get really tricky. And I mean tricky. Your eyes play tricks on you. You have your dashboard and your lights, and you have to be careful not to lose your night vision. And you have lookouts, too. Well, on this certain time, it was just me, and this just happened to be the coxswain there. That's the driver of the boat. That's what they call him. And he was in there with me. He was in control, but I was looking, too. The other guys were actually sleeping, and they probably should have been. But we're going and navigating. We're not going too fast, but it's at night. There's a little fog, and we're in a river where we have to be very careful that we're always maneuvering in the channel. And man, all of a sudden, you start hearing. And then all of a sudden, you're not moving. When you were moving, and you're not supposed to be stopped, you realize, oh my, we've run aground. And of course, the guys that were sleeping are no longer sleeping. and they're up and, oh, what happened? What happened? You know, of course, the coxswain, he calms us down. Listen, we'll get out of this. We've run aground. Thankfully, you know, there's a such thing as a tide, and it was low tide at the time, so we waited till the tide came back up, and we were eventually able to work ourselves free. But there is dangers out there of shallow water. And then all of a sudden, and also you think of shallow water, those of you that have been around pools, you see, first of all, especially in the shallow end, it says what? No diving. Shallow water. And of course, it always shows us that dude going in and with the red wear marks or the red highlights going off his head saying, you know, don't jump here because you could paralyze yourself. And there are dangers in shallow water, especially when it comes to that type of scenario. In fact, you know, I think all of us pretty much know the name Johnny Erickson Tada. She hear on the radio whatnot. She's a Bible believer, and she has quite a testimony. And her testimony is this: on July 30th, 1967. I mean, she was athletic, hiking, skiing, all you name it, track. I mean, she was on top of it. She was a great athlete, and she loved swimming. And she was out at the Chesapeake Bay at late July on a hot summer day, and her life would change forever. She decided that she was going to jump, and by misjudging the shallowness of the water, she hit head first and hit that bottom. And you know what happened? She suffered a fracture. Right here it says between the fourth and fifth cervical levels, and she became a quadriplegic and paralyzed from her shoulders down. And that was a result of a mistake of misjudging the shallowness of the water. I'm here to say there are some dangers in shallow water. But folks, I would say you multiply that times 100 when you're talking about the dangers of a shallow faith. We need to make sure that we are people of deep faith. I think about these young people, and God has stirred my heart on their needs. We can't expect our young people to ride in on the coattails, if you will, of our faith. They have to have their faith of their own. They're seeking out God in a personal relationship. And that goes for all of us. And we need a deep faith in the Lord, and that is a deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, Aaron really challenged us in that, and I believe God's Spirit did that, and wanting us to go in that direction to make sure we do not have a shallow faith. You know, reading in our passage there, look at there at 2 Timothy. I'm going to be reading some things to you, and you're going to be like, whoa, Pastor, that's pretty strong. Look there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm just going to, I'm not going to go through all these, but you know, a lot of these you could say, oh, well, thankfully that's not me or that's not us. But look what it says in verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I believe we're in those last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it goes through with all these sins of the human nature. But look what it goes to down to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now listen, most of us can go through that first two verses 2 and 3 and be like, well, listen, I'm not a blasphemer. Well, listen, I'm not unholy. Well, listen, I'm not a truce breaker. I'm not a false accuser. I'm not a despiser of those that are good. And you can kind of check yourself off. But I tell you one thing, one of the areas, if we're not careful of, we can't put a check by that last one. Because what he is dealing with here, he is dealing with a people, with the church that have the form down. They got the outward down. They look good. They look like they apparently have it all together. They have a form of godliness, but Paul says they deny the power thereof. There's no demonstration of the Holy Spirit working in their life and working in the life of the church. But there's a form there. And God has impressed upon my heart, dear church, that may God help us not to be guilty of having a form of godliness and not having the power thereof. Wouldn't that be sad? Wouldn't that be sad for us to look good, but yet not have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? So what does the power of the Holy Spirit look like? Well, let me read something from Tozer. Said here, in this idea of again, we're talking about deepening our faith and not letting it be shallow. And by the way, a shallow faith is one with just formality. Do you agree with that, church? A shallow faith is that a faith that only has the formality, only has the form. But what about the inner? What about the heart change? What about the focus? What about the motives? What about the desires? What about all those things? Listen to what Tozer said. And I don't agree with everything Tozer says, and I hope you don't agree everything what I say. Because none of us got it all together, amen? But he's got some good stuff. It's helpful. He says here, when we get into this formality, what happens is when it goes down to a generation, if we studied children of Israel, the same thing happened. There would be one generation that would be solid, and then you have that middle generation starts drifting, and then you got that third generation, boy, it just goes south, and they're trying to keep the form, but boy, their hearts are away from God. And if we're not careful, that same thing can happen. That shallow type of faith where they have a formality and not a sincere relationship with Christ. Listen to what he says. Instead of these people that can have a form of it, listen to this. Instead of their religion carrying them, a religion, a relationship with Christ, instead of their religion carrying them forward in holy passion, get this, they were trying to carry their religion. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between somebody trying to hold up all the standards of a religion or a belief and trying to carry it on, and instead of letting that belief in God and that relationship with God carry them. That's where the Lord wants us to be. Not that we have to feel like we're carrying around this load of religion all the time. Bless God, if that's it, I don't want anything to do with it. Amen. Thank you. I just make sure y'all agree with me on that one. No, I want a religion and a relationship that will carry me and move me with the power of God and give me the desire to serve the Lord and a closeness to the Lord that I know I have each day. And listen to this. It says, Brother Tozer said, and the weight of it brought them to a point of, get this, weariness and religious fatigue, and get this, and final collapse. Listen, let's just mark it down, friends. You show me a person that's carrying their religion around. It may not be them, but it will be the next generation or the next where that will be a final collapse. Because it's not real to them, and it's a formality, and it gets so weary, and it gets to be a point of a burden, and it is a final collapse. And get this, though, what happens when that formality is focused on and just form and a shallow faith, this is what happens. And it happened with the children of Israel, and it happened today. It says they sought relief out in the world in the form of compromise. It was like, okay, well, if this is going to be what it is to live for Jesus, let's go look for something else. And they end up compromising true beliefs because they just got messed up in their thinking. And get this, I believe with Tozer, he says, to negotiate with the world is to forfeit the sense of God's presence. The answer is not the world. The answer is a true, sincere, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. That is it. It's not a living a life of rules. Like I said the other day, I don't believe a life of revival is being controlled by rules or following one with rules, but it's the one that we follow who's the rule maker. I messed up my own quote. I have to go back and read it. But the idea was is that it's not about following rules. It's about following the one who rules us. Jesus Christ has rulership in my life. He has kingship, and that makes a big difference. And then that's where the Apostle Paul says, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Can I just say this with all my heart, church? This is something that I'm asking myself, and I think we should prayerfully, even tonight in our prayer time. Do we have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof? I believe that we have to ask ourselves that individually and as a church. Do we have the power of God in our church? Do we have a deep faith in the Lord God? Here are some things that come to mind when I think of the power of God from the Scriptures. You'll remember the story back in Mark chapter 12, verse 24. The Sadducees were trying to trip Jesus up on the matter of the resurrection. And they were saying, well, what if this guy loses his wife like seven times and you know, he remarries? Who's going to be the wife in heaven? And of course, Jesus, he sets them straight. But listen to what he said here. He said, and Jesus answering said unto them after they tried to trip him up, he says, do ye not therefore err? He says, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God. The Lord confronted them here saying, look, you fellas, number one, don't know the Word of God, but neither do you know the power of God. And that is something that we have to be very careful of, that we understand, look, we know the Word of God and we're studying the Word of God, but we also understand the power of God. I believe that is just a relationship with Almighty God. They didn't understand the very fact that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and they were trying to trip him up, and their motives were wrong, the way they were questioning, and Jesus was saying, you don't even understand the power of God. I see it also in Luke 9:43. It says that they were all amazed. Get this, the disciples, you'll remember the context here. There was Jesus delivered the demon-possessed son there. And what happened is the disciples couldn't do it. They couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it, and they got frustrated. And finally, they got them to the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus did deliver them and deliver that demon. And listen to what he said. The disciples, and they were all amazed at, get this, the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, and he would go on to basically rebuke them. And to show them that, look, I can do mighty things, and you can through me, but it will cost you. There will be the power of God on your life is a relationship with me where you're in tune with me, and Jesus dealt with them in that. You know, something I'm looking forward to God doing is some miraculous things in our church. I want to see miracles. I want to see miracles. Do you want to see miracles? Do we believe that? See, again, let's just challenge our faith. Where is our faith? Is it a mile wide and an inch deep? Or do we really believe that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament and the Apostle times is, can He do miracles today? That is a part of having a deeper faith. If we don't really believe that, it's going to remain shallow. What about some of the needs in our church? We got some people in our church and our own selves and our own families. We need miracles. But I think of even some people that we're praying nothing less than a miracle to take place in their life. I think of Dino Patterson. Dino, we've been praying for years. And I think about, well, can God do a miracle there? Yes, He can. But what do we believe as a church? I think of Brother Charlie Griggs, who's been limited so much physically. He there was a time where he was faithful in this church, and Sister Ellen wouldn't mind me saying this. I don't even believe Charlie would mind me saying, what are we doing to pray for Brother Charlie? To help him get healing in his physical and also in his spirit. And I could go down the line. Listen, church, are we seeing miracles of God? I'm burdened about that. I want to see miracles. I'm not talking about this faith healing, this Benny Hinn stuff. That's foolishness. But I am talking about a faith that's so deep and our belief in the Almighty that He is still doing marvelous miracles. You think of the hardest situation in your life. You think of the hardest person you know. And you think, can God do it? Well, that depends on where our faith is. I believe He can, and I believe He will, as we come to Him with a deeper faith, not just going through the religious formalities. I'm praying, God, You break me of that mess. I'm praying, Lord, Holy Spirit, challenge me in my little, small, as we say in French, petite, my little, small faith, la petite foi, the small faith. Many times, that's how I feel, and I don't want to be any part of that, do you? God will give us these great things as we come to Him in a true, sincere faith. What miracles are you thinking about? Can you just do that just for a moment, please? Just in the next few 20 seconds as I'm even talking. What are some miracles in your life that you really need to see? What are some people you know that are away from Christ or lost that God needs to do a miracle? What about in your own heart, your own life? Perhaps I'm talking to somebody that's in some deep bondage and they don't feel like there's any way out. Do you believe that God can free you? Listen, I'm talking that we need to be challenged. God is wanting to do some awesome things in our church. But we got to be willing to take Him at His word and stand and just put, let's just say it as the song would say, just we're proving God. God, we're standing here. We're going to wait on You. We're going to trust You to do some miraculous things. You know, we see that Jesus delivered, and they were amazed at the mighty power of God. You know, and by the way, can I just say this to make it clear? I believe that the power of God will transform lives. I believe it will transform the lives of Christians, and I believe it will transform the lives of lost people as they get saved. And then this next thing that I'm going to mention here is evidence of the power of God too. And that's what we read in Romans 15:13. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Now get this. "That ye may abound in hope." How? "Through the power of the Holy Ghost." Do you know what that's saying right there, dear church? I believe through the power of God, you know what else will be evident? It will be hope. God's going to do something, a hope in our hearts. And I am hoping that God will do miracles in my life and in your life and the life of our church. And I believe it will come with a deeper faith in the Lord God, knowing that He will. Because so many times the Lord Jesus says, "Listen, ye of little faith." And we need to be challenged by that. Abounding in hope and joy and peace. The power of God. You know, I don't believe the power of God is necessarily in drawing big crowds. You know, we could draw crowds. That's not a problem. I mean, we could, if we really wanted to, draw crowds. But then we'd have to check our motives. But I will say this. We can have the power of God in our church. We can have the power of God in our lives, and we can see miracles. And I believe when that takes place, there are people that get changed. There are people that are confronted with eternity and their lives transform. I believe a church that's deep in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their lives are being transformed. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 15:19. He said, "Through many mighty signs and wonders," get this, "by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." You see what he said there? The power of the Spirit of God, and you know what he related it with? Preaching the gospel. Do we believe that the power of God is connected with preaching the gospel? Well, that depends if we believe the Word of God or not. We can have a form of godliness. But do we have the power of God? Now, yes, we're going to seek to preach the gospel in this pulpit, but folks, we're going to go further than that. We're going to go preach the gospel out there too. I hope you'll join me as this past year. And by the way, I got some good news for you. Lord willing, a week from tonight, after the prayer meeting, we're going to have an ice cream social in the fellowship hall. All right. I promised y'all that, and we've just been busy putting it off. But you folks, by the power of God and the blessings of the Lord, you demonstrated a willingness to let the power of God use us, and we've been able to get nearly 5,000 door hangers out in our community. And the Lord has allowed us to do that, and we're going to celebrate that. We're going to rejoice in that. But folks, in my estimation, we're just getting started. We are just getting the wheels greased and getting the wheels moving. And boy, we're going to continue getting the gospel out there. And we're going to start seeing people respond to the gospel. But I want to tell you, it's not going to come if we don't believe God for what He can do. And that's why I'm reminded of myself. I stand with my church. I need God's help in this. But the truth is, do we really believe that souls are going to be saved in the days ahead because of the power of God in our life? I believe it will, but we must not just have a form of godliness. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to talk about these things in the days ahead. How do we overcome a shallow faith? How do we deepen our faith with the power of God on our lives? We're going to discuss those things in the days ahead, and I trust the Lord will teach us many things. But tonight, as we break up in prayer, can I ask you to do this? And each group, as you go in prayer, would you please do this? Would you pray also with a prayer focus that, Lord, would you deliver us from a form of godliness and denying the power thereof? I believe God will honor that prayer. I believe God will stretch us and He'll test us with that prayer. But that's something I want us to focus upon even tonight as we break up in prayer. Lord, would you deliver us from a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof?